Today on Real Radio.
I, for the life of me, do not understand that there are believers, there are Christians who say, I don't want to know this stuff. The only way I can, the only logical or illogical reason why you might think that is because you've never read the end of the book. Read the end of the book. We win at the end of the book.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack delivers a special presentation today, and I've got a thought-provoking question for you. When you see the events going on that are unfolding in the Middle East right now, are they just a long list of international news items? Should you and I just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, well, come on, why can't they all just get along? Or are there principalities at work here that you and I just don't see? You know, it really is true that if we don't know Scripture, then we'll never really understand what's going on with Israel and everyone that seems to be against them. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What's Really Happening in the Middle East.
We happen to believe, in light of what's being said, both in the Muslim world and in Israel, the Jewish world, and in our own State Department, Department of Defense. We're listening. We've got our ear to the wheel, as it were. And in light of that, we've actually installed some equipment here at the church that is going to be able, with a little flip of a switch, take the services that we're doing live and broadcast them worldwide. The wonderful people at His Channel, Internet Television, in cooperation with us, they've asked us, can you guys go live at any moment when something breaks loose in the Middle East and we'll broadcast it worldwide? And we said, yeah. And so we have retrofitted the sanctuary, the technology regarding that. And so that's that important. You say, why? Why? Because what may very well take place in the Middle East is something that people are going to want to hear regarding hope. They're all going to get it on the news, but what about hope? What about the Bible? What does God say about this? And so we're going to be getting to some things today. If you're taking notes, I'm going to ask you to write this down. And today's title will be What's Really Happening in the Middle East? What's really happening in the Middle East? We're going to ask you to write that down and begin with this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter said, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. This is the word that goes out, God speaking about the future. It's confirmed, which you do well to take heed to. And you want to ask the question, why? Peter, why do I need to take heed to the prophetic word of God as a Christian, as a believer? This is the reason why. Because it's as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The verse indicates and implies that the believer should know the prophetic word of God. We might know by the Bible's revelation what's coming next. We are to know this as Christians. It is not an option for us to be uninformed. Church, you know that the Bible says in three places that we are not to be ignorant regarding, for example, spiritual gifts. The Bible says that we are not to be ignorant regarding Satan's activities in the invisible realm, the wiles of the devil. And the third thing is that we are not to be ignorant regarding the future or prophetic events. And I'll argue with you this morning that there are those three areas where the church and the world today are the most ignorant: the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the wiles of the devil, and what's next on God's prophetic time clock. I, for the life of me, do not understand that there are believers, there are Christians who say, I don't want to know this stuff. The only way I can, the only logical or illogical reason why you might think that is because you've never read the end of the book. Read the end of the book. We win at the end of the book. And our God is the one who sets himself apart from all other gods by this prophetic doctrine, by eschatology, the study of future events. God says in advance that this is what's going to happen, and then he says, test me, watch this and see. And Jesus summed it all up and said, I've told you these things in advance that when they happen, you will know that I ego eimi, that I am. That is the same one in the burning bush when Moses talked to God. I am that I am, the eternal God, never having a beginning, never having an ending. He's the God who knows all. And so I'm going to ask you to jot this first point down as we look through some things together. I guess before you do, I want to show you something. We're going to be going to the screen, by the way, a lot today. And the first thing I want you to look at is this. We all heard about this. And there it is. Time Magazine. I got this out of the airport. Walking through an airport, saw that. I had to buy it. I don't usually buy Time Magazine. I don't want to give them my money. But even though a friend of mine works for Time Magazine, I hope he doesn't hear what I just said. The revolution that wasn't. What do you think they're talking about, everybody? I just got this recently. Islam. They're talking about the Arab Spring. The revolution that wasn't. If you guys remember, we did a prophetic update announcing that whatever was going on in the Middle East would not be a Jeffersonian revolution. It would not be a revolution like we are accustomed to, where tyranny is offloaded and liberty is unloaded or received. We talked about what was really going to be happening in the Middle East was a destruction or a change of the nations that, according to Islamicists, was not radical enough for their views and for their agenda. And so you saw leaders like Hosni Mubarak be replaced. Why? Because he had a treaty of peace with Israel, and there is an agenda afoot, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not making this up, but you won't hear it in the press, that the Muslim Brotherhood has a plan. Ever since 1930, the Muslim Brotherhood has had a plan to destroy two nations, because they believe if two nations are destroyed, then we can handle Europe. And those two nations, number one, by the way, originally was Israel and America. That was their agenda. Now that's changed. They believe now all they have to do is disable the United States, get the United States to be preoccupied, and they'll take out Israel. I want you to remember that. I'm not making this up. You can read about it in documentation and websites from the Muslim Brotherhood. They are devoted to the sterilization of the U.S.'s influence in the Middle East and its power, thus rendering Israel, according to their observation, helpless because they don't have America to back them up. The good thing is Israel is not looking to America to back them up. So keep that in mind. The revolution that wasn't. What has happened in the Middle East right now? You and I sit here in absolute comfort today, and yet as I've been reporting to you in our announcements week after week, updating you on the Middle East, now another thousands of Christians have died since you and I met last 7 days ago in Egypt, in Lebanon, and in Syria. Christians are dying. Not only Christians, but those who are maybe perhaps secular Arabs. They're not Muslims. They're Arabs. They may be Christian or they may be atheists, but they're Arabs. They've been dying. What's going on? Well, we'll take a brief look because of the time, of course. We won't be able to cover it all. But turn in your Bibles very quickly to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to go quick today. Write down the verses. Get your thumbs and your fingers ready because we'll fly through the Bible together. What does the Bible say about these things? This is our point number one. We start in Matthew chapter 24. What does the Bible say about these things? Matthew 24, 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, that's what, that, by the way, is opposite of the location he's looking at. Many of you have been there with us. It's beautiful. So they're sitting on the Mount of Olives. Their back would be toward the east. Their face, Jesus and his disciples are looking west. And they're looking at the Temple Mount. The disciples asked him, tell us three things. They asked these three questions. When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world, or the end of the age? Means the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, or they will offer up another Messiah. and will deceive many. Not maybe, but they will. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay, then what do we look for? For ethnos will rise against ethnos. Ethnic groups, as we mentioned even this last week, will be warring against ethnic groups. And here it is. Political realms will war against political realms, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines. By the way, the word implies it's not because God is not doing his part by sending rain. They are politically induced famines. People will not be allowed to eat because of political destabilization. Pestilence, incurable diseases. Earthquakes in various places. The word various places, earthquakes, signifying unusual places. Earthquakes in places that there were not normally earthquakes in. And all these, Jesus said, verse 8, are the beginning of sorrows. The world, Jesus would be saying, will be a time when we approach the end, there will be a collective, global, massive unhinging of what has been predictable. Things will come untied. Things will become loose. What is normal will become abnormal. The environment will go crazy. The climate will go crazy. Men will go crazy. Nations will war seemingly to the point of absolute self-annihilation, self-destruction. The Bible warns about this. You may be an unbeliever today and you might say, that's ridiculous. Really, tell me, where was Jesus wrong? Where is he wrong? When he's saying, as you approach the end of mankind's time on earth, as he knows it, there'll be super quakes in strange places. There'll be incurable diseases that man will be frustrated about. The nations will rage against each other on a global scale. There'll be politically induced famines where people, because of whatever reasons, religious reasons, political reasons, will be kept from eating and be killed. There'll be talk of wars and rumors of wars. And Jesus said, by the way, you guys think that this is all permanent, that what you look at? He says, I'm telling you, the wake-up call is going to be all these stones of the temple that you see that you think's invincible will someday become a heap of rubble. And in 70 AD, that's exactly what happened. Okay, now turn in your Bibles way to the left to Ezekiel chapter 38. What in the world is happening in the Middle East right now? If we look to Ezekiel chapter 38, we may get a good picture of what's happening here. Ezekiel chapter 38, beginning at verse 1. And I'm going to ask you to take out a pen and date your Bible right there. Go to Ezekiel 38 and write down today's date, right next to verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, says Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, that's what God called him. Set your face against Gog. Gog is a title of a military political leader. He wears the same hat. Whoever this person is, he is a military leader and prime minister, or a military leader and ruler. He's a military leader and president, or a military leader and Vladimir Putin, that kind of guy. Okay? Of the land of Magog. It's up to you to find out where Magog is. Where is ancient Magog? I'll give you a clue. Vladimir Putin's territory. The prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Where's Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal? I'll give you a hint. It's Vladimir Putin's area. And prophesy against him. Notice, not them or it, him, personal pronoun. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Why? Watch. Verse 4, I will turn you around, which implies he's not willing. He's not all that excited to get involved in something. I will turn you around and put hooks into your jaws, and I will lead you out. Isn't this ominous speech from God? With all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company of bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Imagine Ezekiel sees this vision and he's trying to describe it in terms that only he knows. And here we are 3,000 years later. In fact, the word horse right here is the word Zeus or Seuss. So what does that mean? It's the translators translated horses. All Ezekiel said was, he's going to come forth with things that leap. That's what the word means, something that leaps. We don't know what that is. But I don't think it's going to, I don't think it's horses. It's going to be something that leaps. Well armored. Bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Look at verse 5. Persia, Iran, Ethiopia, which is ancient Ethiopia, includes northern Sudan. Isn't it amazing? Northern Sudan. Look this up. Don't take my word for it. Did not Sudan just split up recently? Anybody know this? Did you know that? Sudan's now split. It just happened recently. Who lives in the north? Anybody? What religion lives in the north? Islam. What religion is now southern Sudan? Christian. Isn't it interesting that this area of Ethiopia mentioned in Scripture includes Ethiopia today, and the word means of that ancient time, of Ezekiel's time, northern Sudan. And just recently, northern Sudan and southern Sudan have divided. One is Islamic and one is Christian. Islam's in the north. And Libya. Look at your Bible. Are you looking at this? Libya is Libya. Are with them, all of them with shield and helmets. Gomer, which is interesting. Where's Gomer? Where's ancient Gomer? Gomer, according to Genesis chapter 10. It is the area of the Black Sea region today. What religion is dominant in the Black Sea region today? Islam. And all its troops, the house of Togomar. Togomar? What is the famous house of Togomar? Turkey. Turkey was never a player until Erdogan came into power. He's anti-Israel, pro-Islamic. Turkey boasts itself as being secular, but not anymore. Its leadership is Islamic. Far from the north, the old King James is from the uttermost parts of the north, the furthest point north. All of its troops, many people are with you. That is Gog. Prepare yourself and be ready. You and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a, circle the word guard. If you've attended this church for a while, your Bible's already been circled right there. And the word guard, you already know, is the Hebrew word for supplier. That's what the word means, a supplier. You will be a supplier. Can you believe this is in the Bible? Of course I can believe it's in the Bible. It's, can I believe that it's in the newspapers today? That's the tip. My Bible said in the last days, whoever Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal is, this northernmost part of a nation will arm these nations that are being mentioned right here, right now. And every one of these nations has an arms treaty with Russia today. And by the way, some of those treaties have come into being in the last year. These are just wake-up calls God is sending us. Verse 8, after many days you will be visited. When? In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Palestine. No, what does your Bible say? Israel! When did your Bible say that? 3,000 years ago today. You get that? Come on, get excited, will you? Listen, you see, can you say, is it legal to say Israel? God says Israel. Okay, the Roman Empire said Palestine. They made it up. God says it's Israel. It's always been Israel. It's going to stay Israel, God says. Okay, so watch this. God says Israel, which had long been desolate. Is that not true? They were brought back out of the nations. Oh my goodness, was that not true? And all of them dwell safely. The word dwell safely means an assumed peace. It's not a real peace. Did you know Israel today believes that it's once, we just want to live in peace. We don't want to war with anybody. We just want to be left alone. We live in peace. They don't live in peace. When all the neighborhood that lives around them wants to destroy them, you don't live in peace. You may get an ice cream cone or a falafel this afternoon and enjoy or act like things are okay. It's not okay when your enemies are planning your demise. It's an assumed peace. Who says? Bible says. Don't you love the accuracy of your Bible? Verse 9, you will ascend and come like a storm, covering the land like a cloud. You and all your troops and many peoples or nations with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You can read about this plan in the various newspapers today. We're going to show some of them to you in a moment. you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a plunder and to take a booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited. Did that not happen in Israel? You got to look, not now, later. Look at Israel in 1920, aerial photographs or photographs from the mountaintops. Look at Israel, 1920, and look at Israel today. Israel's a forest today. It's awesome. Look at it. He says, middle of verse 12, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Verse 13, Sheba and Dedan. Circle that. Sheba and Dedan during Ezekiel's time is today exactly the area of the crown or royal family, the Said family, the Saudi Arabia nation today is Sheba and Dedan. Now watch what happens with Sheba and Dedan. Sheba and Dedan do not join this coalition of invading Islamic nations. These nations that are going to join up with a Russian-sponsored Islamic nation agenda, Sheba and Dedan, Saudi Arabia, is not involved. I find that interesting and currently accurate. The merchants of Tarshish, predominantly the area of Spain, Southern Europe, Western Europe. Western, Southern, including Spain, Tarshish. They don't get involved. What do they do? By the way, and their young lions. Some people say, that's America. Well, it may be, but this we know for sure. It's the Western nations that have been born out of Europe. Does it include America? We don't know. It could, probably does. But why mention these? They will say to you, who's you? Circle the word you. Gog, G-O-G. These nations, Saudi Arabia, the merchants of Tarshish, Europe, and the nations that have come out of Europe will say to the invading leader, Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, with a coalition of Turkey, Persia, Libya, those regions, Ethiopia with northern Sudan, when they come against the other nations, Saudi Arabia, we know, the Tarshish nations, possibly America, the West, what will they say? Verse 13 in the middle. Have you come to take a plunder, to gather your army, to take a booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, and to take a great plunder? That's all they say. Mark this, everyone. The United Nations, apparently, will simply say to an invasion in the Middle East, why are you doing this to the Jews? File a UN resolution. File another one, and then another one. That's all we do is file UN resolutions. We never do anything. In fact, United Nations military have no bullets in their guns. They're not allowed to. Did you know that? Why would you be in an army? They got army clothes. I've seen these guys. I've talked to these guys. I've met these guys. They got military gear on. They have a pistol on their hip. They got helmets. They're stupid. The helmets are blue. You can spot them from 10 miles away. Oh, there's one. Shoot one.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. It's a biblical look at the events that continue to unfold in that region of the world. What's really happening in the Middle East? That's the title of our lesson today, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a TV program called Journey with Jack Hibbs? That's the name of our half-hour television program, and you can watch it on hischannel.com. Go to hischannel.com and look up Journey with Jack Hibbs. Also, on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek service live. That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time on Wednesday. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is real easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.